Some few fortunate college basketball players are on teams that make it to the Final Four. When he was 15, Tabidi Boone felt he could have been one of them. The story of how he did not achieve that goal is perhaps more compelling than anything that could have happened on the basketball court. Tabidi Boone now joins me from NPR's New York Bureau. Welcome to Only a Game.
Thank you, Bill. Thank you. I appreciate the opportunity.
When you were just 12, you witnessed your mother's attempted suicide. Would it be an exaggeration to say, Tabidi, that from that point on, you were essentially responsible for raising yourself and taking care of your brother and sister?
In more ways than one, yeah. I do remember when that situation occurred. It's almost like you go from being this basketball prodigy with goals and dreams and wanting to make it, and you're just a typical kid in a neighborhood. Now, all of a sudden, you get thrust into a situation where now you got to become the big brother, really become the big brother to your sister and brother. I had to really quickly grow up. For me to see something like this at 12, and, you know, here's a mom, you know, who really just felt like at that point in her life she didn't want to live, and to have that kind of horrific situation occur with her, you know, jumping off the roof. You know, I use that as motivation in a positive way. So, yeah, growing up to be the person I am and who I am right now and the things that I believe in, you know, to answer your question, yes. It certainly, you know, made me a young man as a man at 12 years old.
A little later, you were celebrated as a high school basketball player and as such had every reason to believe that you would play for a top Division I college team. What happened to interrupt that plan?
Well, yeah, I was a high school star, one of the top players to come out of New York City as a point guard, and I was dating a cheerleader, and a little bit too much cheering was going on, and and a baby came, and so it was a very, very difficult situation. And so, you know, when our daughter came, you know, at that time in her life, she was not really prepared to be a mom, so I took the responsibility of taking my daughter with me to college. And what that did, it kind of threw some kind of confusion and dilemma with Division I coaches, top schools, saying at one point, we want to recruit this guy. He's a great player, great athlete. But now he has, you know, this child that he wants to bring into the package. So a lot of Division I coaches had, you know, they backed off from me.
In the article Dan Wetzel wrote about you for Yahoo Sports, he says that when you and your infant daughter Kim arrived at Rochester Institute of Technology, which had a D3 basketball program, you were, quote, equal parts excited and terrified. Did he get that about right?
Yes. I was excited because, like I just said, you know, it was an opportunity for me. And so I was very excited for that. But at the same time, I don't know what to feel to be someone back in 84 to go to a college campus and people was just staring at this guy with a baby, you know, like, you know, what is this, you know? And I got to say to your audience that part of me was nervous that how would people take this guy coming to a campus in a college setting with a child. So, you know, there was some nervousness, you know, along with the excitement of the opportunity.
Was it a hard decision to make, or did you know all along what you were going to do?
No, it was a hard decision. In urban inner cities, there's pretty much three things that young black males are pretty much told that you had to kind of do if you want to feel like any sense of self-worth or accomplishment. That's an athlete, a rap artist, singer, entertainer. The third thing, which is very unfortunate, when you become a hustler and a drug dealer and someone that lived this street life that's negative but is very popular, you don't have anybody talking about doctors, lawyers, doing other things, becoming political figures. So in the hood, it's all about basketball. But I want to be able to say I felt that deep down there was something bigger than basketball for me to do. You know, I'm at peace for the decision I made, the choice that I made, you know, and I'm okay. You know, I'm fine with that.
You not only graduated, you found yourself a job and supported your daughter and yourself quite well, and you're currently working on President Obama's Fatherhood and Mentoring Initiative. How did you come to be associated with that program?
Well, he did not have the benefit of the kind of relationship that he wanted and deserved to have with his own father. So when he became president, he decided he wanted to invite some select, you know, prominent individuals and leaders and celebrities and dignitaries that will sit with him and support him and come up with an agenda and an initiative that will begin to address this issue. And so for the last going on 2 years, I've been working with national fathered leaders around the country. So all that has come into the White House asking me to be a part of what they're doing.
Tabiti, your daughter Kim is now 26 years old. Tell us a little bit about what she's up to.
Oh, man, that's my dream girl there, boy. I tell you, I brought her into the world, but she certainly, you know, she leads me. She is currently on the nursing staff at Georgetown University Hospital. She's in school taking night classes to continue her education around the nursing field. She's happily married to a wonderful, wonderful son-in-law. And I have two great grandsons, Kingston and Kenyon. She turned out great. And I know a lot of that has to do with the fact that a father stayed in her life. And Kim is just a blessing to others, and she's just living a great, wonderful, happy life. And I'm just very proud of her.
I'm sure watching the NCAA tournament games must be a mixed experience for you, knowing that you were good enough at basketball to compete at the highest level. But I understand that last fall you were inducted into the Westchester Community College Sports Hall of Fame. Does that help ease some of the frustration you felt in not having played in the Final Four everybody watches on TV?
Yes, yes, yes. That brought some closure. My Hall of Fame induction is on the same level of NBA, NCAA, any level, because any time anybody can be inducted to any Hall of Fame, that means you will forever go down in history as one of the most accomplished athletes and being a part of something very, very great. I am a Hall of Fame college basketball player, and I finally got my due.
Tabiti Boone, now 47, lives in Brooklyn and, as previously mentioned, works on the President's Fatherhood and Mentoring Initiative. Tabiti, thank you very much for speaking with me.
Thank you so much, Bill. I really appreciate it.
Next Friday, Tabiti Boone will represent the Omega Psi Phi fraternity as he talks with Boston Public School kids about academic success and the role of fathers in supporting the next generation of young men. For a link to Dan Wetzel's excellent Yahoo Sports profile of Tabiti Boone, please visit our website, onlyagame.org. It's 19 minutes past the hour. Shaolin monks in China are working to improve their nation's performance in football, a.k.a. soccer. The project, headed by Shi Yan Lu of the Shaolin Temple, is providing 40 young monks with instruction from both international football players and martial arts experts. Shi Yan Lu has said that the young players have, quote, superb physical qualities as well as a spirit of hard work. He says that he will try to meld the spirit and skills of kung fu into the football training, focusing on such matters as balance and leg strength. The China Football Association has backed the effort by providing 1,000 soccer balls, which you must become, grasshopper, one at a time.